Thank you to all. Hopefully you enjoy your coffee. So, well, I'm David Rodriguez from Dinian Corp and the cloud team, lead engineer. And we're going to talk about Dinian Cloud Services, or what is the same, how we used Windows Azure to leverage the advantage to our customers, right? And talking about advantage and cool features, let's talk a little bit about weather. So, who can tell me something cool about the cloud, about Windows Azure? Come on. Someone?
It can work anywhere you want.
Exactly. So, another thing about me is that I work from the Canary Islands. So, that is another amazing thing about the cloud. So, as Mike told yesterday, by only having a device, an internet connection, you can work from every place. So that is really cool. Also, Aston Martin's. So what is DDN about? Well, DDN is all about a platform and solutions. We began with a platform as a foundation for building applications with features like management, security, administration. And we moved to solutions because, at the end, customers demand solutions. So currently today, what we have is a DNN platform that is open source, that is scalable, that is extensible. You can extend it in different ways by creating models, Visual Studio, etc. And on top of that, we have built two solutions, Evoke Content and Evoke Social. Evoke Content is is an advanced web content management system with key features like digital asset management, workflows, advanced URL management. And then we have launched this summer Evoke Social. Evoke Social is a new solution for creating online communities with features like ideas, discussions, events, gamification, and tools for community managers. So, well, how do you deploy a DDN instance? Well, you must know that a DDN instance is multi-portal, supports multi-portal, and it uses the Microsoft stack. That means that by using IIS and using ASP.NET and SQL Server, you can easily create an instance. So, well, what about the scaling on-premise? Well, it's easy because all the underlying technologies also scales. Where farm is support, any type of SQL Server scalability, it's supported. Also, you can scale out the file system. So, well, you can easily scale on-premise. And that is good, but what happens with customers that want to go to the cloud? And here we start the journey. Today we have three flavors to deploy DDN into the cloud. I think that all of this, a lot about all of these flavors. Websites is just to go to the portal and just by simple following the wizard and browsing the web gallery, you just in some minutes just install a DDN instance, like any other web application there. Other way, of course, virtual machines. By simply deploying a virtual machine, you can do it the same way that you do it on-premise, right? So install, you download the package, install DDN, provision SQL Server, or just use SQL Azure, and you have DDN on virtual machines in a few seconds. And let's talk and focus on this latest flavor, cloud services, that is more past year. So, and let's focus on this, has some advantages about the other ones. And because it's, for example, about that past year, it's because it's more easy to manage, it's more easy to scale. And I haven't here yet these days, but it's almost cheaper than the, for example, virtual machines. It's at 12% cheaper when we talk about computing resources. So how we deploy by using cloud services? Well, I personally started on 2010 a project that is open source, that is the DNN Azure Accelerator. That is by downloading this package and by simply following a wizard, you can have the same instance running on cloud services, right? So the package that is deployed there, you know that you will always deploy a service configuration file and a service package. What is running there is something like this. You have three components that are compute, storage, and SQL database. And how it works is that you have one web role with one or more instances that serves the contents. Where are those contents? Well, those contents are a VHD that this is on the storage, and all the web roles are continuously competing for the list of that VHD. And the first one that takes the lead, okay, mounts that drive, and then automatically shares the drive over the internal network. Suddenly, all the other web roles, including that one, maps that drive and start serving the contents through IIS. So that is, in summary, how this works, right? So demo time. Let's take a look a little bit about this. Well, this is the URL, OK? Well, I will share then also the slides. But this is the URL for the DNN Azure Accelerator. It's available on CodePlex. You can check all the source code. And by clicking here, you can start downloading the zip file, right? So what you can find when you unzip the file is something like this. So you double click this executable. Well, this wizard opens. And you start, well, here you can import your publish sentence file. You can choose and directly create from here, from the wizard, the cloud service, the storage account, all the resources needed, okay, for deploying this. Of course, SQL Azure, database settings. I have prefilled all of the settings in order to go quick over this. Two interesting things. You can enable remote options like RDP, also well deployed, and FTP. So this is also automatically done. You can set up also and upload from here SSL certificates if you want to use in your site SSL. And finally, here you select the package that you want to deploy. Currently, the distribution comes with these packages that mainly what it does is to use different small, large, or small devices. So, but you can build your own packages also. So you can, for example, if you want to have customized startup task, okay, in those web roles, you can build your own packages and just the package from here. Finally, you select the version that you want to deploy, and click on continue, right? So instead of waiting now for the deployment, this takes some minutes. What I'm going to show you is this site up and running. So this is the site that you can see. This is the default, the vanilla template, and works as an example. So, if we go to the backend, you can see this is the cloud service. And, we can monitor, we can do everything that we can do with a normal cloud service, okay, by serving a multi-instance website. Currently, I'm running this website with three instances. And I can go, for example, here, connect via RDP to this instance. And we can see is that what I told you. Currently, this is the first instance and was the one that mounted the drive. So this B drive is the drive that is on the storage, right? So I'm going to try to doesn't support here the Zoom. Well, not sure if you see here, but you see that this drive is being shared. That icon, okay, shows that. So it's shared over the internal network. So, well, also, this, as the other instances, what they do is, at this location, is to create a symbolic link, okay? A symbolic link to that location in the network. And this is all automatically, okay, when you deploy all of this. So this works in this way. So finally, also creates a site in the IIS pointing to that location. And of course, in that location are the website contents. So well, this is how the accelerator works. Of course, you can go here, scale, add more instances, less, manually, all the things like this. So let me continue then. Good, we have three ways of deploying DNN on Azure. So then we started to, to try to see how the solution that we wanted to offer to our customers in the cloud. So this was the panorama, right, that we had. We had tens of thousands of developers building thousands of applications for the DNN platform, selling them on the store, also sharing them on the Forge as open source, and different ways of deploying. So this was the starting point. So then we started to talk about the main features that we wanted to add to offer to the customers. So of course, who wants free trials? Of course, I must have, right? So to sell something, we want to we need to deliver free trials. And but also as important as the free trials is to deliver them with zero installation, removing the installation gap. Installing, for example, the ways that I showed you before are good for you and me, but what happens with business people, with marketing people that needs to create a website immediately for a campaign or something similar? More reliability. And specifically talking about backups. We talked about adding SQL backups, and not only about the database. You know that DNN, DNN installation, is all about contents on the file system and the database. So the backup is both that pair, right? So not only SQL backups, also requested backups by the customer through the UI that they could download and install on-premise, automate, and also even driven backups. Like, for example, if we are going to run an update on the devices, a backup should be taken automatically. In order to, if something fails, we should have the ability to roll back and like working like a time machine. You got the idea. Update is. And so we wanted to offer our users the ability to if they were running a production site, have a way to deploy and test and update on a staging environment. So, for example, if they want to try a model or a new model or just run, including also running a stress test, they could do it to a staging device instead of doing that on production. Remote access, of course, we saw that we had remote access on the different flavors, okay? We deploy FTP, RDP, and cloud services, okay? So we wanted to offer that to customers. Scalability, and not only when we talk about the scalability to the increasing or decreasing the customer instances, but was also if we wanted to offer this to thousands of customers around the world, we also needed a way to scale a platform that supports scaling in a high way. Finally, cost effective. If we were going to deliver trials to the customers, like all of you want, of course, we could not deliver one instance or multiple instances for free for the trials. Should not be cost effective. So we will have to find a way to see how to manage that. But the most important about all of this one was simplicity. Simplify, simplify, simplify. What's the most important one? Do the things simple. So don't overload the things, do the things simple, right? So well, these were in summary the things. So how at the end we decide at the end to implement this? Well, for paying customers, we decide to that the cloud services flavor based on the accelerator was what best fit on our need. Okay, because as I mentioned, the faster way, less management cost, also resource less resource cost. But what happens for the trials that we wanted to offer? So well, more than a year ago, we started to work directly with Microsoft, and they were working in a piece of software that they started to call Antares. Who knows Antares? Okay, no more MVPs raising the hand. So well, at the end, this finally has seen the light this summer, and the name is Windows Azure Pack that we deploy over Windows machines, virtual machines on Azure. So, but what is Windows Azure Pack? Who knows Windows Azure Pack? Ah, I see more hands. Well, in summary, Windows Azure Pack is just the same software that is running Windows Azure websites on the Microsoft data centers that you can download and install in your premise to offer a customized version of the Windows Azure websites. So that is really cool. So the software that is running Microsoft in the data center, you can download and install at your premise. Wow. So let's take a look, demo time. So, well, for finding more information about the Windows Azure Pack, here's this is the URL, microsoft.com, server cloud, Windows Azure Pack. Well, I'm sure that you can find with your browsers. Well, here you can find more information, you can download, you can, well, find all the information related to this, right? So, and the architecture of this, okay, about the Windows Azure Pack, is something like this. Well, you will need to start having and provisioning some devices for this. You will start by provisioning, let me zoom it this way, okay? A device for managing the backend, okay, of all the Windows Azure websites infrastructure. Of course, you will need another VM for hosting the manager, the customer portal for the tenants. So it's like the management console that you see, okay, when you access Windows Azure, okay, VMs for hosting that. And also, you will need another device that is for hosting and serving the API, okay, that normally you can access via PowerShell or things like that. Of course, well, this is, you can also split this when you go to production, okay, and split this for security reasons. This API in different levels and different VMs. But well, this is only the beginning. You will need some other devices. So we'll need devices for controlling the all the web servers, and you will need at least one front end. That is the load balancer, so that will check the plans that your use well check, will check that the subscription and when a web request comes, is it still on the quotas that you can define, okay, for those for the plans that you want to offer. And at least you will need to add one publisher for allowing the FTP or web deploy connectivity to those websites. Of course, you will need a file server to host the website contents from all the websites. And at least you will need to add a web worker, okay? That will be the one that will serve the contents. You can add SQL Server capabilities, okay? If you want to offer SQL Server, of course, if you want to also, you can add a MySQL Server, and including you can add by using System Center, you can add virtual machines. So let's take a look about all of this stuff. Well, I have that devices running in a lab here. So I'm going to connect to the first device that I told you. It's the device for managing the backend, right? So this is the portal, the backend portal to manage the Windows Azure pack, for Windows Azure pack. And here you can see that at this web farm, I have added these servers. By, for example, each server has a role. For example, this is the web worker. This is a publisher. This is a front end. This is the file server. If I want to, for example, add more capacity, more power horses, I can add, for example, add new web worker. Just type the name of the server and select the type of the worker. If we will serve for shared modes or will be a reserved instance for somebody. So good, we are seeing the backend of Windows Azure, right? You start to feel in that. Websites, these are the websites that I currently hosting, okay, on this Windows Azure pack instance. So, and each website, well, I can manage, I can select each website and do all the same that, super view or supervise a customer websites. That these are for the users that has joined, that has created a subscription, okay, for this. It's like the subscription idea of Windows Azure. When you have a subscription, you select a plan. And finally, you can define a plan and set up what you want to include in that plan. For example, you can define for the different tiers, you can select, and for example, well, I want to edit the quotas for each tire. So, well, this is the, as you can see, this is the how the match with the Windows Azure offer that they have. So what the customer sees is something like this. It's a customer portal. This will be the management portal. And this is the full skin that you can fully customize. You can change everything from here. And you can allow the customer to make those plans public. The customer can go here and select from this drop-down list the different offers available on your system. So for example, let me choose this. Okay. I'm going to sign up for that plan. Will be like something like sign up for a Windows Azure subscription. So now you will start seeing just exactly the same that you would sign up, enter for the first time in a Windows Azure subscription. Okay, they go through this and this, very familiar, right? And from here, well, you can see that I have websites and databases. They are the the features that I have added to the plan. And I can go, I go here and choose from the gallery and do exactly the same that I can do on the on Windows with Windows Azure website. So I can go and deploy here. So do you like this? It's cool, right? So you have Windows Azure at your premise. It's cool. But this was not the flavor that we wanted to offer to our customers. Because at the end, this will need also to people like you and me to provision an instance of a DNN website, right? So do you remember that I told you that there is a here a secret? This is an API. So what we did at the end was to integrate our backend with that API. And what we did was something so simple for the customer, for the users, something like this. Go to trial, and by simple, going and go here. Hey, it feels only. By clicking on the start trial button, this places an order on a message storage queue, and I work a role our backend start provisioning, okay, and processing this order. So then, this starts sending information to marketing systems, starts sending credentials to you via email, and in some seconds, this website has been is ready to deliver. Okay, the customer is redirected to the new site. This should redirect in some seconds. So this is the final experience that we offer to the customers. So it's, we remove the installation gap. You got it? So, well, should I start redirecting now? And if not, I'm going to redirect. Well, what should be something like this? Okay. This is a sample site, okay, of a trial. So what you can see here is, it's just the same, by default, the same vanilla installed that you can that I show you at the first demo. So do you like it? Good. So, well, we talk about how we implemented the trials. And we talked that, remember that the platform is extensible platform. So why not, if there are cool features in Windows Azure, like in-row caching, things like that, why not extend the DNN platform on Azure by using that extensibility? So that was what we did, was to implement, for example, a Windows Azure caching provider that uses in-row caching, so that was pretty cool. And also implemented staging device cloning. That means that if a customer have a production site with the contents and the website, with only one click, we clone the production site into staging, okay, by following the process, okay, by taking a backup, provisioning the staging, and just push the backup into staging. So only with one click. We had, of course, we deploy FTP RDP capabilities. I also added another cool feature, that is offline site support for updates. Normally, when you run a DNN update, you will need to do some things like first, of course, take a backup of your site for if something was wrong, and then you will need to stop web requests from the wall. Because you know that the update process start perhaps updating your Beam folder, and that provokes some application restarts in the application pool of the IIS. So it's in the middle of that process, a web request comes from the wall that will corrupt your update. So what we did is just to have an offline site ready on IIS. So when we start the update process, we change the bindings and we run the update process in a different binding, while we show to the wall your offline site, okay, that you can also customize. When the update process finish, we again change the bindings, okay. So and this is also automated by using the accelerator. Automatic backups. We created three different ways of creating backups: SQL backups, like the new ones that we have now with a SQL database, but not only about the database, also including the website contents. So we can have SQL backups. We also create the UI for creating for allowing the users to request a backup, immediate backup, and that they can download. Also, as I told you, even driving backups. So, for example, when you are going to run an update, a backup is taken, the first step automatically. Then the update is running, and if something goes wrong, the system automatically restores that backup. So works like a time machine. And all of this in a simple UI with all the that is inside the customer VM. So how we implemented this? How is the architecture that we designed? Well, standard systems like the clock control bar, what they do is to talk with a web API that they hosted on web roles, okay, on Azure, and they put those messages into queues, okay? And like, for example, the website at dnnsoftware.com make a request and then put a message up to process an order of a new trial, right? So then in the second backend, there's some worker roles that are reading those queues. And for example, there's one that is processing those orders. There's another one that is processing backups. There's another one that is supervising the different actions that, for example, provision a staging environment, delete the staging environment, things like that. And all of those worker roles talks with the underlying infrastructure at the end that are cloud services or Windows Azure websites, well, the Windows Azure pack on virtual machines. So, but how is that fast? Because you saw that normally an installation of DNN can take some minutes, okay, to run. How we can deliver in less than 20 seconds a website for a customer? Well, I'm going to show you that secret with three concepts that I think that's very easy to understand. The first one is the device concept. Well, a device for us is like something like compute resources, database, and storage. And with that level of abstraction, right? So this doesn't matter if it's running on cloud services, on virtual machines, on websites. That is the level of abstraction. And that the level of abstraction, it's allowed by implementing provider provisioning provider for each flavor, right? So we have three different provisioning providers for each flavor that, for example, looking for the cloud services provisioning provider, finally, what it does is to talk with the different APIs that Windows Azure offers. For example, in this case, talk with the Windows Azure Management API to provision devices, to provision the host services, to restart a VM, things like that. Also talk with the Windows Azure Storage API to create the storage account, to create the containers, to create the VHD, that way. And also, of course, the SQL Azure API, okay, to provision SQL Azure servers and things like that. Is this clear, these two concepts? Okay. So the third concept is the funny one, the device pool. What we created is the concept of device pool. That is something so easy, so silly, that a buffer of pre-provisioned devices. So what we have, if per different products, per different technology, per location, and per language, we have a pools of devices that have been pre-installed in an automated way. And we can define a minimum and a maximum of devices that we want on each pool. So each pool will always have a minimum of those devices, and between the minimum and the maximum, then some rules, some heuristic rules, and depending on the number of the devices being consumed in the latest X minutes, so we'll add more extra capacity, okay, or remove, okay, depending on that. So I'm going to show you, demo time, something also about this. Oh, here we go. That was the website. Well, my mouse. Okay. So I'm going to connect here also to a lab. Okay. To show you this about the okay, I'm going to show the pools, and what you can see here are that's just what I told you. Different pools. We have different pools per product and language, also by location, and we have ready devices to deliver. So has been pre-installed, right? So we can find, okay, a lot. We have also closed services, okay? Takes more time to provision than the websites. But, and if I go here and click on the details of a device, oh, let me zoom in here. Well, this is, for example, the configuration settings for this device. Well, the language, these kind of database sizes that we want to offer for this type of trials, the package that we build and we deploy on those instances, and product type, etc. So I can go here, of course, different actions. I can go and browse, okay, the trial. I can try this later, the device. I can go, of course, for example, if you see a pass device, the provisioning provider implements more actions, of course, because, for example, the Azure websites is not implementing RDP, right? But the cloud services, yes. So we can go and connect to a cloud device, a cloud service, via this way. Of course, we can download the published settings to use to later use for with WebMatrix, things like that. So let me go. If you see here, this pool, for example, the Spanish pool, has a minimum and a maximum of devices. Okay, to always have in this pool. So what will happen if I go here and drop this device? What should happen? Well, that in some seconds, well, this page refresh, I think that every 20 seconds, the device has started to be deleted, and the worker roles that we have in the backend starts to provision a new one. In fact, the website has been provisioned the resources. The new one, and now the system will start pushing the contents into the website. Of course, including this way is faster including that also in the selection process, because we are having a template of the site, and at the end it's working faster, okay, the installation. So, okay, here's being deployed. Of course, if what will happen if I, instead of three, for example, I set a minimum of five, right? That again, in some seconds, the rules that are behind all of this stuff will start provisioning new ones, okay, for this type of pool and product. Okay. Again, as I told you, this refreshes every, okay, here we go. That are the other websites. And finally, about talking about the final product, this is how the customer can see, okay, the UI. This is how we extend it, okay, the DNN on Azure. So we added a cloud menu where all the those features that I told you are in one click. Okay, so for example, if I go here and I want to, for example, to manage backups, and I want to create a backup, well, these are the script backups, as you see. By adding a new backup is something, I think that I have, okay, the backup request has been in queue, okay, into the backend. So you remember the data architecture that we were creating messages into the backend, and then the worker also processing. So well, the backup is now being executed, okay, and in some minutes the backup will be here, ready for to download. Of course, you can from here you can download the backup. Well, it's composed by the database backpack and the zip file of the web, with the website contents. Well, we can see here that the backup task is running in the backend. We talk also about, well, connecting here, all the settings about connecting to the, we don't have, the customer don't need to, you know, to connect to the management portal, and simplify the things, simplify. We click and open, and you can connect directly to your instances. And what about the updates? This not, this one. Check for updates. This is really a one-click update. So this is telling me that, well, I'm running 7.05, the version, and this is a new version available. So I can do two things. That is to run the update just on my production side, but I can also run this update on the staging environment. So this process, when I click this process, I will not do it because this takes now some time to do, but in queue, the process, well, I'm going to do it. Well, the process initializes and then start processing and updating, okay, your staging environment with the update, right? So, well, as you can see, this now takes two backups, one from staging, one from the from production, to be sure that if something goes wrong, have the ability to roll back, okay, and work like a time machine. So, well, and this process takes more time, so I think that I will stop here. Do you like it? Good. And finally, ensuring confidence. So, well, we have different ways to deploy on Azure. We have, okay. We have different ways to deploy on Azure. We had now a good solution to offer to our cloud customers. And we found that a lot of models that are developed by those thousands of developers, okay, were not ready for Azure. And mostly when we talk about SQL Azure compatibility. So let's go further. And what we did is to implement an extension verification service called IVS, and with a very simplified UI. So the idea is this one. If I am a DNN model developer, what I normally do is, okay, create models, create packages, okay, for DNN. I can check that this is Azure compatible. So what I can do, upload the package to the IFS website, that is the one that I show you. And this web role that is running also in Azure will enqueue that a message for processing that package and also put the package on a storage. Then another worker role will start to do some verifications, okay, on that package. Verification like, who knows the SQL Azure Migration Wizard project that is also in Codeplex? Really? Well, I thought there were more people. Well, it's a project to run, okay, verifications, okay, on your script, okay, and allows you to migrate from on-premise to SQL Azure, okay, in that way. So, well, that code is also part of this worker role. And do other things like, installing on a SQL database and installing and check that everything there's no garbage, okay, after installing. I also run an export and import of the package of the result to verify that all is working. If it all works, hey, you say this is Azure compatible. To the customer via the UI. Let me show you the final. Yes, we have time. So where's that? Okay. If I am a mobile developer, I normally work, well, I have a project here on GitHub that you can download them for if you're curious. It's a mobile for it's the DNN to-do list. Okay, it's like the who knows the mobile services example that is about the to-do list, about implementing a to-do list. Okay, well. Well, in this case, I have implemented that example by using Knockout.js and making web API calls. So you can download it, and you will have something like this, okay, in Visual Studio. So, well, it's all about having controls, etc. Finally, this has a file that is a manifest, okay, for building a package for DNN. And if you see here, there's a new entry that is for telling to IFS, hey, I want you run checks for Azure. I want to this mode to be Azure compatible, right? So, well, I go here, right-click, click on rebuild. And as I'm going, rebuilding on release mode, and I have here some build scripts, okay? I have automated the creation of that package with those build scripts. So if I go here to this folder, I can find that here I have I'm using the GMT Canary Islands hour, 1 hour less. So this is the package, okay? So well, I want to go now, and let me go to IFS, dnsoftware.com, and this is the UI. Okay, so let me browse and go click here, select the package. Mm-hmm. Okay, copy here. Okay, so start processing this, and this is nothing else. Simplify. Okay. Well, I'm loading the package. It runs different checks, and after some seconds, okay, it start running also the SQL Server checks because I say that hey, check verify this for Azure. Well, effectively, this will take some minutes. Okay, because of the export, import of the database, so it can take some time. So what I'm going to show you is the current result of that. If I go here, okay, this is the current result of that. So you can see that says, hey, your package has errors. You see here? And says, hey, your model is not Azure compatible. Let me check why. It's saying, hey, you have a table, the to-do items, that is missing a cluster index. But if this works, I have here in the, well, this is, I didn't show you, but this is the model, okay? It's a, this is how it works. It's a simple to-do items that, well, this is spinning up my local IS currently. Well, I hit refresh. So, but it works on local. So, as you can see, I say hello. Well, it's working, right? So, works in local, why not works on Azure? Because exactly that is not, are not the same rules, okay? When you play with Azure that on-premise, are some restrictions like this one. And precisely, this one is effectively because the copies that SQL Azure needs to maintain in the different copies and needs a cluster index to do that operation. So, hey, so I found that with the ifs. Okay, so let me check my SQL script. And what you can find here is effectively, hey, I had my cluster index, but I forgot to uncomment. Okay. Was not prepared. So, well, if I go here and click and reveal, and I start uploading again all the process, well, the final result of all of this. This is the final one. Let me check. Yeah, this is the final one. So you can see that the package now has no errors and it's SQL Azure compatible. So, and also you can download the Azure Checker output. Do you find this useful? Good. Good thing. So, well, I think that is the things that I wanted to tell you in this session. Okay, sharing with you how we build Dynamic Cloud Services. What I wanted also to tell you is that Dynamic is committed with on-premise customers and also with cloud customers, and particularly with Azure. So what you can expect in the future is that if any new feature coming to Windows Azure, sooner than later will arrive also to our solutions. Also, we have currently focused on cloud services, the trials, solutions, and the verification service. But our goal is all about simplify the things. You will win with that. Okay? So, thank you to all.